Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock. Said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The older I've gotten, the more that's meant to me, Brother Thompson. I realize that, you know, it's not just about that. There's so many great things that we get to take a part in whenever we come to church. But I want to also look at the wonderful, wonderful teachings that are helping me to know a little bit more about myself every day, about that Adamic nature that still rears its ugly head as much as I'd like to think, oh, no, no, I got that conquered. Something comes along and shows me, nah, I don't guess I'm quite as far as I thought. But that's okay, right? Because a righteous man falls, but what happens? He gets up again 7 times. He will get up again. Because he has that faith in God. Because he has that trust in Him. I was just thinking, as I'm going to take us to prayer a little bit later. We got quite a few needs here tonight. But, you know, I needed something tonight. I don't know about you, but I need something every day. I realize that I am not an island. I can't live unto myself. And I find myself so many times being that horse led to water. That Bible might be sitting on the table. My knees are right here. I could kneel down. But for whatever reason inside, I got that spirit warring against that. Nah, you don't have time to pray. Nah, you'd rather play that new game on your iPad. You don't need to look at the Bible right now. What's that about? I say that over and over. Next thing you know, I find myself starting to get weak. I find myself getting a little cranky. I find myself not putting on, truly putting on that charity, the love of God that I've been taught about, and that Holy Ghost that's down inside, and I start quenching that. And I start saying, No. And then I realize, ooh, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like that I'm just like, bleh? I don't know if you guys have ever seen that comic. I cannot remember her name for the life of me. But it's an older lady. And what's that? Maxine, that's it. And she is just cantankerous. I mean, you know, it could be a sunny day outside and beautiful, and she would find some way to make a cloud come in the sky. And that's the way I find my spirit getting sometimes. And then I realize, God, thank you. As that song said, thank you for your mercies. Thank you that you don't, that he's not just, you know, I remember Brother David Thompson, how somehow he would put it, that God's not this big old booger man with a club ready to beat you over the head every time you make a mistake. Thank the Lord! Because I'd have a few lumps on my head, let me tell you. But I was, as that song was playing, or the band number, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, Brother Tally, that spoke to my heart. I really appreciate that. But I was thinking about, pretty sure that that's taken from Lamentations. And just turn it over here to, what'd you say, Brother Tally? 22nd or 23rd chapter, let me see here. Oh, the verse you mean? Yeah, chapter 3, and starting at verse 19, Jeremiah had to be a melancholic. For any of you that understands the temperaments, he had to have been a melancholy. I understand that's my nature that I tend to go over into whenever I'm not trying to get into God and be like Brother Painter said this weekend. I really appreciated his words when he was letting us know that it's not robbery to want to be equal with God in that. That really is our goal, to one day be, whenever you see me, you've seen Christ. That's what our goal is. It sounds braggadocious, but if you want to be a perfect overcomer, if you see that as the vision of the body of Christ, then one day we will be equal with God in His Spirit, in seeking, in knowing His ways. His ways and our ways will be the one. We'll be one and the same. And won't that be a glorious day right there? Then I won't be falling anymore, but I'll be trusting in Him. But it says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Well, that just sounds all happy, doesn't it? My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore, have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Can you say that? Because His compassions fail not. That's why we're not consumed. And you know, it's not just a death, but this world is consuming. Oh, there's just so much to get your mind everywhere but where it needs to be. Whether it be your job. I mean, right there, you know, there's career-minded people. There's nothing wrong with doing a great job. You know, we're taught to do as unto the Lord. But if that, I mean, you could truly live your entire life for a company. I mean, it's very simple. And they would definitely take it. And then after you put in your 30 to 40 years, here's your watch, have a nice day, and they get someone else. They consume you. They take from you. Now, they give back. I said to my boss, I was at a meeting this week, and I said, hey, look, you know, I'm not going to be one of the negative ones. I'll tell you this, as long as waste management is signing my check, and I'm not being immoral, unethical, or anything of that nature, then that's fine. That I'm going to do what you say. If my higher-ups say to do this, you know what? They're paying my check. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's the type of attitude I need to have toward them because I work for them. They're not obligated to me. We have an agreement. I do this service, they pay me. It's a great agreement. But you can be consumed in your work. I have been there before. Right now, I'm trying to not let it consume me. I'm trying to pull back and say, just 20 minutes ago, I'm praying here. The guy, my customer, he didn't know I was praying. He didn't really care either, did he? He called me because he had a need. He needed it taken care of when? Yesterday. That's why he called me today. So I took care of the need. So I don't want to let that consume me, though. But God here, he says, Jeremiah, because his compassions fail not. That's why we're not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Christ said he would never leave us nor forsake us. That's a promise that... I can't remember now if it was, I think it was Brother Smith that said, about that stock, about you can invest in that. You're not going to have to worry about that. You can lay it all on the white horse. Okay, guys? I got my money on the white horse. I know that this one is going all the way because the rider is Christ. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. You know, there's a lot right there in that verse. If I'll just step back and I'll consider that. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. That wait. What does the Bible say later on? Is in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, in our daily walk is where it's talking about. In our relationship with Christ, if I will wait on the Lord, if I will realize that I just need to what? Trust in him. And he shall direct my paths. You know, all of these are promises. Promises that if I will just put my faith in him, if I will put my heart, if I'll say, Lord, here, I trust you. You've never hurt me. You've never put me down. You've never been bad to me. Lord, you've only ever taken care of me. I just need to put my faith and trust in you. And then it says, to the soul that seeketh him. What's the Bible also say? That you must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. It didn't say half-heartedly or lazily seek him. I'll get to that later. Oh, no big deal. This is what I've been going over my own mind because I am a checkmark guy. That's why my job does consume me from time to time, is because it's never ending and I can't complete something, it seems like. And I really want, I'm just Lynette, I'll blame ACE. How's that? I won't blame you. All right, I won't do that. I'll blame ACE because it had them goal charts and it was so fulfilling to go, ha, done. Ha, I got a green dot. Woohoo! Okay? And now today, they don't give me a green dot at Waste Management. What's that about? It's like it never ends. So, I went off on a tangent there, didn't I? But the thing is, I want to have my trust in him. I need to know that God has got my back. I know that, but I've got to realize that, and I've got to continually seek him. What I was going to say is that, I can get caught up in checkmarking things, okay? So, if I'm not careful, I'll go to this extreme. Now, I'm not at this extreme right now. I'm on the other end of things. okay, I need to at least read 3 chapters. Got that. I should fast this week. Got that. I've prayed at least 15 minutes per day. Got that. Okay, now I've got a list of holiness, and, oh boy, I feel great, right? Well, if it depends on, what did Brother Smith say also? It depends on the spirit that's behind it. Those are so necessary to my life, to my relationship with God. But it doesn't need to be about checking off a list, does it, Brother Thompson? It needs to be about that relationship. I mean, I'll say this, and I know she'll back me up on it. I married Chelsea. A lot of you were there that day, right? You were witnesses. Brother, Brother Lloyd Garrett. I want to say just Brother Garrett. Okay, Brother Lloyd Garrett, right? Tall guy, nice gentleman, very, very awesome brother. He married us, and he, you know, it was a good ceremony and all that, and we signed the papers, and we ate the cake. So, I mean, we're married, right? So, in my mind, maybe as a male, I could go, I'm done, right? I don't have to tell her I love her, or I don't have to, you know, get her gifts occasionally. I don't have to do anything. We're married, right? I'm done. What? Whatever. No, I'm forever building that relationship, maintaining that relationship. Because the moment I stop maintaining it is the moment it starts to deteriorate. If they don't, I mean, we saw this recently in the last 10 years, that funny thing about the highway department, if they don't maintain those bridges, they fall. People get hurt. People die because the bridges did what? They deteriorated over, it could have been over 100 years. They stayed there a long time. But after time, there's things that hit on them, beat on them. The weather beats on them. They deteriorate. They're not forever. Well, if I have got to give God my attention that way, not because I'm checking a list off, not because I'm saying, well, I prayed today, I'm good to go now. It's one of the things I've thought about is saying, you know, praying won't get me to heaven. But if I don't pray, I won't get to heaven. Does that make sense? Fasting won't get me to heaven. But if I don't fast, I won't get to heaven. It's not because, it's because of that relationship. It's because I'm trying to, you know, if I could say right now, hey, Brother Thompson, I love you, man. Okay? So I said something. But if I don't ever go to him, if I don't talk to him, if I don't shake his hand, if I don't, you know, have some sort of relationship there, those were empty words. Those were nothing. It was just me checking it off. I don't want to have that relationship with God. He's done so much for me. You know, it was the beginning when I asked him for forgiveness. He made the way for me to do that, and I took that step. Then somebody preached one day about the wonderful gift, the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Ghost. And I said, ooh, that's for me. I want to be alive. I want to be alive unto God. I want to be born again like Christ was talking to Nicodemus about. I received the Holy Ghost. Now, I could treat that just like that marriage certificate and say, got the Holy Ghost, I'm done. But we have a greater vision today. We have an understanding that is just the beginning. I actually have to do what? I got to mature? I got to grow up in this? What are you talking about, Sister Inez? You mean when people are mean to me that I got to actually be nice back? That's just wrong. You mean that I got to actually treat my family good when they don't treat me right? You mean that when I'm having an Alexander's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, I can't pout and kick the cat and the dog and even the fishbowl? Well, that's just not fair. Hey, I'm preaching to me right now. If y'all get some of this too, that's on y'all, all right? I'm just saying, I don't want to forget what I've been given. the other night, Brother Painter referenced, I think it was Brother Painter, it might have been Brother Smith, about Brother Linger and about what he would come in here sometimes and start going over. And Matthew 5, 6, and 7. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm making a lot of noise if I don't have love for my brother. John said, if I say I have love for my brother, or I love God and I hate my brother, I'm a liar. I am a straight up liar if I don't show you the right kind of love. If I don't say, you know what, if Sister Hannah Stewart now, if I walk by and she just snubs her nose, and I'm like, doesn't she know I'm her cousin? She shouldn't treat me that way. Not that she would ever do that. I'm just saying, maybe I need to have a, maybe God's throwing me a check right there and saying, ooh, look, ooh, that's a bad spirit you got there, brother. Maybe you need to realize that you should just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out of my way to let her know, hey, I'm glad you're here. I hope that I know Caleb is making your life awesome because he's a great guy. But you're in a different city. You're in a different environment. You're not with your other family. Hey, you know what? We're thinking of you. We're praying for you and your transition. And we know that you're going to be a success here and help to build this church. Thank you. Thank you for marrying that guy over there because that's cool. We like that. All right. Woohoo! That was out of nowhere. I know. I don't know. Anyway. I know that because I know my wife. And I know that she, I look at it sometimes and she gave up a lot to come take on a lot. And I appreciate that. I don't want to treat God like I don't love Him. I want to show Him. I was talking with Brother Durham before service about, if you really look at things, you know, as an American, and I'm going to just keep this all focused this way, guys. As an American, I can get really lazy in the wealth that is available to me. Okay? I can go to my cupboard, and I can look, and ours is full. All right? It's never full of something I want to eat. I mean, and Chelsea said, we go to it and we're just like, there's just nothing in here. And of course, it's got like crackers and cereal and soup and macaroni and cheese, of course. You know, and all these cool things. It's like, gah, what's that about? Then I go to the refrigerator and open it up. Are you kidding me? There's nothing here. And there's all stuff all over the place, you know? Yeah, there's ice cream in there. Yeah, so see, I mean, we're right there. We're good to go, right? But I still say there's nothing to eat. Now I go into my closet. You know, well, I know why there's nothing to wear. It's because I'm gaining weight because there is too much to eat. But I'm saying, I go to my closet. Well, it's true. I go to my closet and I say, you know, I just don't have any clothes. Shame on me. Shame on me. When I personally know of other brothers and sisters, not on the TV that, you know, come help this poor person. No. Brothers and sisters that I've shaken hands with, I've danced with, I've gotten the spirit with. And they have what they have on their back. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. Shame on me for, at the very least, not just appreciating God more. Say, God, I don't know why you let me be born in the land of the plenty, but I don't want to take it for granted. I want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Instead of what comes out of the side of my mouth is, boy, I sure could do with a bigger raise this year. So I could get on some more clothes that I'm going to say I don't have and some more food in the pantry that I say I don't have. I'm talking to myself, okay? I'm just letting you know how God is dealing with me right now. Because I don't want this to be for nothing. I don't want to come in here and waste my time. I really have had one of those, I felt like I was the cat that's been kicked this week. They have put so much on me at work this week. And hey, it's okay, because why? They're paying my check, so it's okay. But it's still one of those things where sometimes you step back and you're just like, I don't know, how am I going to get through all this? But you know what? You know how I'm going to get through all this? The same way I have before. And that's by leaning on Him. That's by lifting up my hands and realizing, hey, I can, thankfully, get on my knees and pray. I can open up this book and start reading. You know how David encouraged himself? I know. What did he even say? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Okay? He memorized the Scriptures. Why did he do that? I mean, he didn't have a lot to memorize either. I mean, come on. He had like Genesis through, he had the Pentateuch. He had the five books is really what he had. And he maybe had the book of Joshua. I guess maybe Ruth too. But that, well, actually about Ruth, that's about it. Because that was his ancestor. So, not too much there for him to have to worry about to read, right? But he hid that word in his heart. So that when, after he gets back, and he notices all his stuff's gone in Ziklag, and he has to go and fight the Amalekites. And things are getting bad, and his men are wanting to stone him. He was able to do what? Encourage himself. How? Because he could go back to that word and those promises. I am a child of God. In his case, I'm a descendant. I'm a descendant of Jacob, of Israel. And God promised us. God promised to take care of our family. And I'm part of that family. We are spiritual Israel here today. We are marching to that promised land. If there's issues in your life, whether they be health, whether they be financial, whether they be physical, whatever it is, we have an advocate today. We can lift up our hands and say, Jesus, you have been here. You have done that. And I know I can trust in you. I'll just lift my hands towards you and say, God, help me however it is. If I need to go through this, then I need to do what? I actually need to say, hey, I want to glory in my tribulations. Oh, that's a weird one, isn't it, Brother Painter? To be happy and to glory are two different things, okay? To glory in it, to understand what its perfect work is, doesn't mean I have to be singing, you know, like, la, 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 I'm going through bad things. Okay, that would look weird. I realize that looked weird, but okay, just overlook that, all right? But to glory in it is to understand that it's taking me one more step to Christ. Now that's something to shout about, isn't it? One more step closer to Christ. One more step closer to perfection. If I will just wait on Him. If I will just keep my hand in His and not jerk it away. If I'll be that vessel that stays in the fire. Think about that. If we have all these different analogies, the Bible's given us, Christ gave, you know, if we're to be a precious metal, then it's going to take some fire to get the impurities out of our life. And so when that fire comes, do I want to stay there and yield to it and let it have its perfect work? Or do I want to stay in it for 3.5 seconds and then get out and say, okay, God, woo, yeah, that was fun. And then it comes back on again, and I get out of it, and I come back again, and I get out of it. Or do I want to go ahead and say, Lord, I'm trusting in You. Because You won't put on me more than I can bear. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay? Now, there should have been a caveat right there. Now, it does say that you... Someone give me that reference. I don't have that right now in my mind. I want to read the whole thing because it's often misquoted. That with the temptation might be able to bear it. Where, is that in? I thought I had that. What's that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Thank you, Brother Talley. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I don't want to leave that part out, that ye may be able to bear it. But the caveat that so many times, you know, Brother Smith was talking to us the different reasons for sickness or for death, things of that nature, for sickness, but also it says that who? It says right here, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Okay, so he won't allow you to be tempted above you are able. But you know what? You tell me if you can get in the way of that. You tell me if you can go ahead and put more on yourself than you're able to bear. Okay? I'll raise my hand. I've done it once or three times, maybe more, that I have put more on me. And the funny thing about that, go figure, you'll never guess what I end up doing when I do that. I go and call God and say, hey, first off, what's this about? What's all this stuff I'm going through right now, God? And the Lord said on the other line, I don't know, what'd you do? Did you go get yourself in trouble again? Oh, right, Lord. My bad, you're right, you got me. I did it. I often take myself to those places where angels fear to tread. And then ask God to save me. It's that same thing before. You know, God is a merciful and wonderful and great God. And he's given us so much. But if I go out there and stand in front of a bus, guess what? I'm going to get hit. And that is not God's fault. I'm just saying. I want to remember what it is that God's, what his place is in my life. And his place is to lead me and guide me if I will just accept it. If I'll just trust in him. So I wanted to get up here tonight, and there's a lot out tonight, but I'll tell you, I was looking forward to coming to service because I have been. I mean, I'm gonna confess a little bit to you. I have been I've been standoffish with God lately. It's like I've been telling him, I don't have time for you right now, God. And that is so wrong of me to have done. But I've caught myself doing it. It's like I'm telling God, let me fit you into my schedule. Let me tell you where you fit, God. Shame on me for that. And I'm asking him, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I don't want to be like that. I want to be used of you to where, what you know, I'm asking you, what? Where do you want me to go, God? What do you mean to do? What do I need to do? I want to be ready, a willing vessel. I don't want to be made of wood, hay, and stubble. I want to be that precious stone. I want to be that precious metal. But in order to do that, I'm going to have to realize that also, what is that spirit for? You know, it's to help me get through those things. It's to strengthen me. But if I don't take myself to the well to drink, then I'm not going to get that help, am I? I mean, the Lord is wonderful. And there are those times when we have those services when he just pours it all out everywhere, all right? But I don't want to be to the point that I have dried up so much because of my own cantankerous spirit that God could rain a thunderstorm down on me and it wouldn't even begin to wet the ground. So I wanted to get up and say, Lord, I don't want to refuse you. I want to lift my hands to him. I want to say, God, I need you today. I need more of your strength, Lord. I appreciate it. I was thinking about that driving home. You know what? Wow. I was. It hit me this way. I really am happy that I'm going through some of these things because it's forcing me down on my knees where I need to be. Maybe I've gotten a little too prideful in my spirit for whatever reason. And then God said, boy, it's time for you to remember who you are. And that you're my child. And don't forget that. thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be chastised. God, I appreciate you for that. I want to, right now, I want to lift him up for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am not illegitimate. I am your child, Lord. You're his child. Isn't that wonderful tonight? Isn't that a wonderful revelation to realize? God, these trials and tests, you know what? They serve a purpose. They're there for a reason. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that so much. So I just, I'm telling you, I feel better. Now, if you see me, if you say you love me, if you see me doing that again, knock me upside my head, figuratively speaking. Tug on me and say, hey, when was the last time you got a drink, you stubborn mule? I'm not talking to you, I'm saying you said it to me, okay? Ask me. I don't want to get right on the mind. I want to see him, don't you? I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want to be a part of the bride of Christ. That's my vision. I don't want to lose sight of that. I don't want to let the world consume me. I want to let God have his perfect work in my life. Brother Smith is still out of town. He's very desirous of our prayers. We really need to lift him up. We know that recently, you know, he's not felt the best. He's been doing so much traveling and got a great load on his back. And I personally don't want to forget about that. I got an awesome opportunity when I went with him to the Dominican Republic to see just a glimpse of what he did. And there's no time for rest. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I can at least say, whether I'm on call or not, I can say, well, I can choose whether or not I'm going to answer that phone. All right? But he's never off the clock. There's not a clock with him. There's nothing where he can punch and say, oh, I'm not pastor right now. Bye. He can't do that. And this is his responsibility. He's carrying the load here in Little Rock. He's carrying the load of the Dominican Republic. He's carrying with Canada, helping the other churches, Wichita. That's a big load that he's carrying right there. And those of us from this area originally remember what happened to Brother Liniger. Now, I just mentioned to Brother Weiger, I wish that Brother Liniger would have taken a couple more vacations in there. You know, to realize that he might want to give that body a little bit of a rest. I appreciate Brother Smith's faith, but I know, I also appreciate that he maybe knows his limits. So I really want to lift him up today, and let's pray for him when we go to prayer. Let's think about, just don't forget that right there. I just had that on my heart to mention him, and Brother Boyd is working tonight. I was trying to think of, I thought I had another. Brother Mike Smith came home sick early today, not feeling well. Let's remember him. I'm sorry? Sister Ann McGowan, is that where Brother McGowan is with her? All right, Sister Ann McGowan, she was sick on the weekend, so she's still having some trouble with that. All right, let's remember Sister Ann McGowan having trouble. They texted also. That was another one. Brother Brett Weiniger, let's definitely remember him as he's in this long recovery. Sister Bryant, you said, first off, it's Brother Bryant's birthday. So if you get a chance, Facebook him or whatever, say happy birthday. But is he resting on the road or he's at home? Okay, that's what I thought you mentioned, yeah. So let's remember Brother Bryant. He's working off the clock, if you will. So keep your, you know, let's pray for him as he's traveling, doing his job. Anyone else with any, Brother Stewart? Did I mention that, okay, Brother Painter? All right, let's remember Neth. Sister Abraham's not here, and you know she would mention also her family, Sister Lisa. Let's remember Brother Jerry, he's not feeling well. Remember Sister Cindy's mother. Let's remember Sister Inez. Always keep her lifted up. Sister Holly. Let's remember Brother Paul McGowan. He wants to be here, and his job takes him, of course, over the road. So let's pray that we can find something local for him to where he can be here. I love to hear his testimonies whenever he'll tell about interacting with different people, because we know Brother Paul well enough that what he's saying, you can imagine how that conversation goes. And it's just, that's a cool deal. Brother, your sister Linda still, right? Just remember her? Brother and Sister Crow. Let's always remember to lift them up. I know Sister Crow, both of them would love to be here and in service with us tonight. Very much so. They're missed when they're not here. Also, my niece Jane still needs our prayers as well. Brother Crafton. All right, let's remember Brother Michael's mother and sister. Anyone else here have any needs that we need to bring up tonight? Oh, go ahead. All right, my Aunt Liz recovering from her accident that she had with her heart and also her head. Are we taking up an offering tonight? Okay, Ms. Sharpie. Okay, well, if the ushers will come forward. I'm sorry? Hannah. My daughter, yes, that Hannah. Yes, that's right. Hannah's not feeling well. Let's remember her. The ushers will come forward, and we'll go ahead and receive the offering, and let's take these needs before the Lord tonight. Everyone will go ahead and stand. Forgive me for my voice. It's leaving me quick. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. Be closer to you, dear Jesus. We appreciate you and we thank you for all that you do, Lord. Oh, God. Wonderful Savior, your mercy, Lord. Your grace, dear Jesus. We appreciate you so much, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Savior, Savior, Savior. Thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for me. I thank you for the way you've led me, oh, so patiently, from chains of sin that bound my soul. You came and tenderly unlocked them all, and now I know down deep in my heart. For every time your blessings have rained and the has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear. Sometimes I fail, to understand the things that are best for me. My feet may stumble and my eyes, Lord, may not always see. Please keep your hand upon my life and always let me be. Thankful, Lord, for saving my soul and keeping your hand on me. Flooded my soul for every trial and each test. Dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Though I should give my life, dear Lord, and suffer for your name, though I should turn aside from wealth and shun all worldly fame, the price I've paid, I know, my Lord, would never be enough to pay the debt I owe to you for such undying love. Down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord. Flooded my soul for every trial and each test. Dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you.
Last week, and he was saying that when he was testifying, he was saying he didn't worry. He didn't, the whole time he didn't worry. But in the hospital, he was saying that he could see God using his situation in the hospital. He was naming off some that we've been in church with 20, 30 years ago, coming to see him in the hospital, calling him. People that live there, Brother David Thompson, they're in Glenwood, coming to the hospital, being there, concerned about him. My brother Phil, not Brother Phil, but Brother Tim Blaise, and he was just naming different ones, you know, that Brother Clint Clayton, that's been in our past, people that we still know, you know, some of you people from Springfield probably never even heard of, but people that we were in church with, under Brother Tucker, under Brother Liniger, and all the trials and all the tests and things that we've been through all the years, Sister Wanigan was saying, in this song, I've needed them all to make me worthy, dear Lord. I thought, to make me worthy, dear Lord. Lord Jesus, allow me, Lord Jesus, to learn from those things. Because when I was talking to Brother Brett, and he was saying how the Lord was using him, and he was trying to explain, I said, all, just say it, all things work together for the good. Just spell the word, A-L-L. Now, you might not know what good this is. You're laying there in pain and tubing your nose and laying there. You know, I was trying not to make him laugh. Well, first of all, I did make him laugh a couple of times. He'd hold his stomach. I go, oh, I'm going to stop. I'm going to be good. And I try not to dance, not to, but you know how I talk. You know, something will come out to make him laugh. I said, I know how it feels. I said, one time I was in the hospital, I had surgery, somebody made me laugh. Oh, and I feel the pain for him. So I did have empathy. But I made him laugh. Anyway, I was thinking, O-A-L-L. I have to spell it sometimes, don't misunderstand me, because, you know, when I think of the things that we've been through, my poor husband, you know, married me, and all the things he's been through all these years, I feel sorry for the man. My brothers and sisters, they didn't feel sorry for him. They even feel sorry for him now. He's been married over 40 years. And, you know, I had an uncle, I told him one time before he married me, he said, man, you're a fool. You're just a fool if you marry that girl. You pet him? And my husband, he didn't know what in the world he's talking about. He married me anyway. But my uncle tried to tell him, you know. And he says, he does. And my husband, he knows that scripture. God's still on the throne. After all these years, you know what we've been through. God has a reason for it. God had a reason for him marrying me. He needed somebody to help him on to perfection. And God provides. That sounds like a joke, but I believe this in my heart. I mean, honestly, I mean, it sounds funny, but I believe that God, and I know, no belief to it, I know his word says all things work together for the good, so it's in the word. I believe the word, and I stand on that word, that I believe all the situations that we've been through our marriage, through our church life, through our coming together as this group, all, you know, our different ministers, the different things we've been through at the church, the number of people here would be a crowd from where I come from. You know, in fact, we went to visit, when we went to Brother, we went to visit some friends that I was in meal shows. Brother and Sister Reed, they are friends of ours, I just forget the name. I went to spend a few days with them, and they took us to church. In fact, Hannah's might have been going to church there, Brother Jolly, Elder Wade, Illinois, and he kept apologizing for the number of people that were there. It's just big. It's big. I think the church is bigger than this, or at least it's big. And he felt, you know, there would be more people here. You know, he said, I just hate for you to know that. And so many people, he started explaining who was out of town and who was sick and who was in the hospital, and he would just explain it. And so, and when I look at the number of people here and I think, you know, not so much the number, but the quality in the lives of those that have a desire to go on, to walk with the Lord. You know, if the scripture says two or three gather together in my name, that I'm in the midst. Well, you know, he's really in the midst. And I praise him for it because I feel his spirit. I glorify and lift him up. That someone's going, Hosanna. And I was thinking, was Hosanna to the highest. You know, when they was laying out the clothing and Jesus was coming through and it was laying out what those big things, palm leaves, all the different things. And I was going, Hosanna, Hosanna. And I kept thinking that the whole time Sister Cindy was singing that song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy of all praise. I thank the Lord for what he's bringing me through. I thank the Lord for what he has brought me through. I thank the Lord for what he's going to take me through. If I can just hold on, stand steadfast, and come out as pure gold, hallelujah, I glorify the Lord that he's given me this opportunity. He's given me the chance to rule and reign. I praise Him for His people, for each and every one. I thank the Lord for all I've been through. I thank the Lord for what I'm going through at this time. And I request, I need your prayers. I'm in need of prayer. I was talking to a sister earlier about waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Normally it's between 4 and 4:30. Just wide awake. And so something was still, and that was the time I'm supposed to open up my eyes. And just, I know without looking at the clock what time it is. It's between that time. And I lay there and I pray because I said, God, there's got to be a reason that I wake up this many times at this particular time. And I pray. And I go back to sleep, but it's as though that's the time I'm supposed to be awake. So God has this reason. I believe in my heart all things. All. A-L-L. I don't understand sometimes what it is or how it's working together for my good, but I know that it's going to dovetail together for my good because He loves me and I love Him, and I want to try to work to prove it. You know, Brother Phil was talking about Brother Smith and going for, you know, I thought, you know, and, you know, putting forth in ministry. I feel like, I said, well, I'm a burden. I'm a burden to Him. If there are times when it's just a lull in the whole church service and He has to feel the obligation to get up because I didn't get up, I didn't testify, I didn't praise, I didn't lift up. I said, if I'm a burden. You know, when Brother Lineker was here, how he had to give and give of himself, and Brother Weiniger had to get up and talk. Brother Phil, that, well, everybody just sitting there looking at me, I'd better get up and talk. Not working together. I'm a burden. I am a burden to the church if I don't pull my part. I remember my grandpa. Oh, Lord, my grandpa was something there. In the Baptist church, he said, every church needs bench members. So I tell people, you know, I'm a bench member. I mean, I'm here. I'm sitting in this seat. That's it. But you know, there's more to it. You know, God has been so good to me. God has been, He is good to me, not just in the past, but right now, every day, He's good to me. Not just, Brother Phil, because I got food in the pantry. Not because I got food in the freezer. It get too full and I have to shift things around and then look in there and say, well, what am I going to cook? It's not because of that, not because I got clothes. I will admit I don't plan my clothes. Some people, they lay out their clothes. They know exactly what they're going to wear each service. They know exactly where everything is, and it's all put together and all organized. Not me. I'm not going to tell you how I get dressed. But anyway, I got clothes. I'm coming. And I'm thanking the good Lord for it every day. But all these things work together for my good. God has blessed me abundantly. He has blessed me, you know. I mean, I'm walking. I'm riding in a vehicle. I'm in a nice building with padded pews. I'm not sitting on a hard bench. I'm blessed. I'm truly blessed. And I just want to thank the Lord for it tonight. I want to thank the Lord for being blessed.
Up and say, I praise the Lord for being here. I've, like a sponge, I've learned so much the last 3 months. I'm like Brother Phil. I'm a mechanical engineer and checking off. And what I get each day, I get, just like Brother Phil, there's so much bad news out there. If you even listen with one ear, consumes a lot of energy. So what I'm thinking about is I'm thinking about a poem that says, I found God in the morning when the day was at its best, and it goes on and on. And what I'm thinking about is a mechanical engineer. There's books out that says 7 Habits of a Great Successful Manager. There's a book that's a great 7 Habits of a socially acceptable. Anyway, what I'm thinking about standing up here, I'm thinking that each day we need to have Christian habits. I mean, if I'm thinking about, like, each day I try to get up and say 3 minutes worth of prayers. I mean, God hears the prayer, and I'm thinking that if I sit there for 30 minutes, He's going to know what's in my brain. So I've gotten a habit, and I read 10 minutes worth of Scripture so I could read until June here gets me out of there. But what I'm thinking about is I'm trying to set some habits. Now, habits is like, good habits is like drinking or eating healthy food, and habits can be bad, like smoking or something that you just crave it. But each day it seems like, with as crowded as the world is, what seems to work for me is get in a habit of setting aside even 3 minutes for prayer, same time, same place, reading the Scripture, maybe sometimes three chapters, and throughout the day just set aside. The old days, there was David kneeled and faced the east five times a day. It didn't say how long he prayed, but every day he prayed five times, and he got in trouble with Nebuchadnezzar, but every day. So I'm thinking along the line, if we make a habit each day and make a habit of getting in touch with God, nothing like to say to God 10 times a day, "Thank you, God." Everybody here likes to hear "thank you." If you children, you give your children something, and they say thank you," you feel good. If they just take it for granted, "Oh, old dad's rich and he and never says thank you," you know that is feeling bad to me. And as big as God is an emotional God, and He likes to hear us say thank you, praise the Lord. Even, it doesn't have to be a long, hour-long prayer, but throughout the day, if we just make a habit on an hourly basis, just say thank you, God. So I'm so glad for the learning I'm getting, and I'm so glad that I'm feeling the Holy Spirit just flowing through the messages and through the service. And I appreciate everyone that I come in contact with. Thank you.
Favorite place to go, so I go out to Carrie's and I generally buy something, but anyway, and something happened and I let my tongue slip and I don't even know what I said, but all at once it's, you know, you want to bite your tongue but take back that word. I don't know what the word was, and I wouldn't tell you if I did, because then it would bring back what I did. But anyway, it made me realize how easy it is. I grew up in a family that we said things. Some people don't. But in my family, my parents, we have a habit. And Nathan had to, he was blessed. Because I think God sometimes had to shut his ears that he didn't hear what some of the things that were said in our house. But when I was raising the kids, there were a lot of kids there, and we thought nothing of having children there. I figured it up one time. Many a time I fed 10. Sometimes I fed 12. And sometimes they were not always children that knew the Lord. But anyway, I'm going to try harder to watch my tongue, and because habits, that tongue can get you into more habits than you want to get out of and get around from. So I'm going to try harder, and I'll be, Esther and I've had a good day today. It's been, every so often you have a day, and at the end of the day you can say, I've been blessed. And you know, it's not really a great big something, but oftentimes it's the little things that Esther was telling Nathan a while ago about the breakfast I cooked this morning. It wasn't anything fancy, but it sure made me feel good from the words that he said, because they were good words. So every day I'm going to try harder, and we're doing all right. I think our high point of the day was that there were three birds, because we live in a neighborhood that both of us are country. And so for us to get to see birds, so today there were three birds on the front yard and some squirrels. And we were blessed. And then we found a black squirrel, and we were double blessed, because I didn't know that there were black squirrels, but I found one. So we're glad to be here. And we miss not having neighbors down there. We have people who live there, but they're not neighbors. And maybe it'll happen someday, and maybe it won't. We keep trying. So really pray for the people that are around us, because this church, truthfully, is the light. It's amazing. They don't come to church, but they're looking. They see us. And they probably see us more than we think that they do. And so when you go by, if you see someone, wave at them. I invite them to church. We do on Saturday. Saturday is a good time. You get out and there's someone out there and you stop. And someday we're going to get to see some of the people in the neighborhood. And they're going to be up here. One thing I tell them always about breakfast. Most people like breakfast. And they'll say, well, I go to this church or that church. But sometimes they won't even remember the name of that church. You know, I'll say, come on Sunday morning. We have good breakfast. So really pray for us. And we're making that house down there our home. And we plan to stay there. And we bless you all.
Every time Jesus failed you.
Short book, wouldn't it? One of those, just page, nothing there. Because he's never failed us. He's never going to either. You can bank on it. Let's remember the ones, the needs that we mentioned earlier. Come back Sunday. We've got breakfast and church, 11 o'clock, dinner day, right?
Potluck.
Okay, I'm so confused. All right, so potluck, and then the dinner day is the next one, right? Okay, I'll get that. All right, so yeah, potluck. Woohoo, potluck. So bring some pots and some luck, right? And I'll stay, Sister Tally. I'll be here because I'm overcoming. Other than that, let's remember those that are traveling. Brother Smith, as they come back, thank you very much. I appreciate you very much, Brother Durham. We have rehearsal for the play Saturday at 2:30. And then on Sunday after potluck, we'll be practicing. And we all very much desire your prayers. So let's lift him up tonight. Let's have a wonderful rest of the Wednesday and the rest of the week and come back on Sunday. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be here amongst your people, dear God. We appreciate you for all that you do for us. Many blessings, dear God. the vision that you've given us, dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord, so much for your many blessings, Lord. You've never failed us. We appreciate you, Lord. We lift you up. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Your wonderful, wonderful name, dear God. Remember with us, dear Jesus. Keep him, Lord. Keep him safe, Lord. Give him strength, dear Jesus.